Welcome to the Geek Generation, Episode 8. I am joined once again by Mike Reinfleisch, and it seems, Mike, that you are here for every episode that is divisible by 4.
That's true, Rob. You and I did Episode 4 together. This is Episode 8, so every number divisible by 4, I'm coming for you. Episode 16, you better run away right now, because you're going to be my personal bitch.
What about 12?
Huh?
What about 12?
Yeah. Math, obviously, is not my strong suit. Pretty much everyone out there in internet land should know that we do record these live. There's pretty much no... I'm not going to throw ourselves under the bus and say we don't do any pre-production. But that's not true. We do pre-production. But we just we fly by the seat of our pants. And apparently I forget about the number 12. So screw you, episode. Make sure I do not do episode 12 then.
All right.
Because episode 12 and I obviously are going to have some problems right off the bat.
Not a problem. All right. Well, then let's jump right into things. And I'm going to address very quickly some complaints about episode 7. I got several written comments saying that the episode was not quite up to par. It was touched on very briefly in the fan feedback episode, which I enjoyed doing very much. But basically what it all comes down to is that not every episode is going to be stellar. So think about your favorite TV show, and there's always a crappy episode in there that you're not going to like that much. Well, I guess that's our episode 7, but we're going to take that, we're going to learn from it, and we're going to move forward.
Exactly. It's nice to see that there is some fan feedback in there. And like you just said, you can learn from it, grow, and get better. I will say that Dave's one of my best friends, so I'm it's tough for me to sit here and criticize or anything like that, so I'm not going to do anything of that sort. I will say, though, that Dave was up in the thick mountain woods of the White Mountains in New Hampshire, and at the time I was actually up there about 30 miles, which is like at least an hour drive, because you have to trek through the mountains up there. So technology definitely is not the White Mountains strong suit. So as far as technological problems, I mean, there you go. But that being said, you guys still put out a show. You did it. And now that you're getting the feedback from it, like you said, just learn, move on, and we'll get better.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to go right into our geek outs and freak outs. What are you geeking out over this week, Wally?
Freak out, geek out.
You're early.
I know, right? I like how you put that on there.
Thank you.
Yay!
Yeah, Wally, I didn't say this in the beginning, but for you folks who listen to episode 4, you know that my nickname is Wally. My real name is Mike, but there's a kabillion Mikes in the universe, so we'll go by Wally, or we can go by MWR, which should be my faux initials, whatever floats your boat or toots your flute. What am I geeking out about? I will tell you. As you know, Rob, I am a huge, huge Silent Hill fan.
Oh, yes.
The biggest. And they're coming out with a new comic book based on Silent Hill. It's called Past Life. It should be out late this year. It's about basically the Wild West. It's set in 1867. It's about a guy named Jebediah Hellrider Foster. He's from the Dakota Territories. And he meets a lady named Esther Monroe, who's a widow. And if you meet a woman named Esther, by the way, in any kind of horror genre, just turn around and run away, because every woman named Esther is apparently inherently evil.
It's kind of a creepy name.
Yeah, this just does not bode well for this dude right off the bat. But I guess they travel back east to Silent Hill. If you saw the Silent Hill movie, they say that Silent Hill is in West Virginia. The game series sort of hinted at being in New England. Particularly Maine, One of the landmarks of Silent Hill is a lighthouse, and I like to pretend that Silent Hill is in Maine in my mind. But they go back east to Silent Hill, and that can just the story. You know, just say the word Silent Hill, and you know what's going to happen. They're screwed. But I guess he has an unborn child as well in this plot. So you know, if you know anything about Silent Hill, children in Silent Hill also don't go well together. So the plot of this is going to be pretty good, I think. Nice and creepy, which is what Silent Hill goes for. Silent Hill always messes with your head. I own all Silent Hill games on all systems, and I've played every one of them. You really have to be in a certain mind frame when you play the Silent Hill games to get through them. But in my opinion, though, this Silent Hill game is based in the Wild West. Now, the other thing I'm geeking out about is it's tentatively being called Silent Hill 8. I don't know if you saw that trailer, Rob, that came out for PS3. And the trailer looks like there's a convict.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a teaser, so we don't really know what's going on. But in the article I read, I guess the plot of this Wild West Silent Hill comic book coming out sort of blends into the game.
Interesting.
Which is kind of neat. But what I thought was, I thought it would always be a great idea to have a Silent Hill game that was set in like the early 1900s or 1800s. Like imagine having like an oil lantern.
Oh yeah, instead of the flashlight, that'd be really creepy.
And you're walking through Silent Hill. Actually, Dave, Mr. Notorious Episode 7, Dave and I, this was something we used to talk about all the time. You know, imagine having that and just like a pitchfork and like a shovel, like just very old Western type weapons and items, but you're going through Silent Hill and maybe there's some like Native American folklore thrown in there. And I thought that would just make for like a real creepy Silent Hill game, just showing like the birth of Silent Hill as it pertains to like when America was young.
Absolutely.
I think that would be a really cool idea, but the comic book should be sweet.
Who's publishing that, by the way?
You know what? It didn't say. I think it's Dark Horse.
Okay.
I think it's Dark Horse. I'll have to go back and check on that. But if any of you folks out there in internet land, go to your local comic book stores. Just go in and start talking to your merchants and vendors about that and see if they know anything, if you're interested. But something to definitely Google and peruse the internet about is Silent Hill Past Life. There's one other quick thing that I'll mention that I'm geeking out about. It doesn't really pertain specifically to this website. It's a little bit off the cuff.
Okay.
Because I know you're not a huge sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge sports fan. And I just signed up for one of my fantasy football leagues.
Oh, yes. It is that time.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. I'm excited for that. You know, I'm definitely geeking out about fantasy football. I will say last year, I won the league I was in. I think something of that had to do with the fact that I named my team after my unborn daughter. so I think that was on my side. And but the reason why I'm mentioning sports on a geek podcast is fantasy sports was created by geeks.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there was a great documentary on ESPN about fantasy baseball that was released a little while ago. And it just showed – it was like basically a group of friends who got together and – they used to check the newspapers and for stats and everything. So they used to do all the fantasy sports stuff manually.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have like books and books of stuff. And they used to write everything down and just it was crazy. I remember reading, watching that show and just being blown away by it. Because now everything is just computerized and it's like bing, 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 and you're done. But fantasy baseball was pretty much the first major fantasy game when it came to sports. And now fantasy football is probably the most popular, but you know, fantasy baseball, basketball, hockey, football, blah, blah, blah. All of them exist now, but pretty much fantasy sports were invented by geeks. So I just wanted to kind of plug that out, that geeks invented fantasy sports. So
yeah, meatheads, go thank your local geek.
Right?
That's right. So those are your geek outs for the week?
Yeah, those are my two geek outs. Very, very different topics. One of them is Silent Hill, and the other one is fantasy football. But those are the two things that are exciting me this month.
Separate for the moment, but you never know when you're going to have like a Field of Dreams Silent Hill crossover type thing.
Yeah, I mean, if it was taking place in the Wild West and all of a sudden fantasy sports was involved in that and you just had a bunch of like undead sports players coming out of the crops.
If you build it, the pyramid heads will come.
If you build it, cut you in half.
Dude, that'd be really creepy, like having the big cornfields around a baseball field and like zombies coming out and stuff.
I know. That would be crazy. And if I ever heard a voice out in a cornfield, but I knew it was like a Silent Hill type thing, I would just wet myself and run.
Yeah, I'm already feeling a little trickle. Yeah. Not going to lie.
Yeah?
Kind of scared right now.
Stop drinking all that water.
I know, that'll do it too. All right. This week, I am geeking out over Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I finally saw the movie, and I am very anxious to go out and see it again just because I loved it that much. I'm not going to go into any major spoilers here because we will be doing a spoiler room discussion of it on the next episode, but I'm a little disappointed Scott Pilgrim vs. the World did not deliver in the box office as much as it should have, but I feel word of mouth may give it a second life. I haven't checked the box office yet this weekend to see if it improved at all, but if you are a geek or if you just love video games, this is really, in its simplest terms, a video game romantic comedy. It's not based on a video game, but if you were to do a romantic comedy in a video game world, that's basically what you're going to get with this movie, and it was just really fun, and I really enjoyed it. I did write a full review up on the site, so you can check that out. No spoilers in there either. We'll discuss it more. So actually, if you do have things you want to add to the discussion that we'll be having next week, you can send emails to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. I don't think you've seen it yet. Have you, Wally?
No, I haven't seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World yet. I did see it was about a half hour behind the scenes making of it. I believe it was on HBO or something like that.
Okay.
I caught that on demand, and I thought it looked great. As far as why it's not performing well in the box office, you know, it's just such a specific genre film.
It is.
It's just so keyholed. It's a very fine demographic I think they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, what other movies are out right now that Scott Pilgrim's going up against?
Well, The Expendables took the number one slot. And
right, Inception's still out there.
Inception's still out there, but it's, I believe, below Scott Pilgrim at this point. The Eat, Pray, Love is in second spot.
Ooh.
I think Pilgrim came in number 5, actually.
Yeah, and it could be one of those movies that is just a cult hit. You know, look at, what's a great example? Office Space.
Sure. It's probably the example.
Yeah, you know, there you go, thanks. Office Space just tanked in the box office and then came out on DVD, and then it's people love it. There's t-shirts and buttons and blah blah blah. So maybe that'll happen with Scott Pilgrim.
Oh yeah, Scott Pilgrim's definitely gonna have a second life. I have no doubt about that. All right, well, those are our geek outs for the week. What do you have for freak outs?
I will tell you what I have for freak outs, and I'm gonna go right off the bat and combat you on some stuff.
Go for it. I love a little competition. Let's do it.
You ready for this, man?
Fight!
Yeah. KO. I'm going to pick on the new Batman Inc. comic book coming out.
Go for it. I thought someone might get into this eventually, and I might be on the same page with you, so we'll see. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, you know that I know my stuff when it comes to comics.
Absolutely.
So, I like Batman a lot. Batman's definitely in my top 5 DC characters. The Joker is my favorite villain, like, of any Marvel, DC. I don't care. The Joker's my favorite villain.
Yep.
So I'm a big Batman guy. It's neat that Bruce Wayne's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They've, you know, Marvel, DC, they've done this with everybody. Batman, Superman, Captain America, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Flash, Colossus over in the X-Men, blah, blah, blah. Everyone gets killed.
Sure.
They come back. Yada yada. Even though Bruce Wayne technically didn't get killed, he got sent back in time, which I think is retarded because, like, since when did Darkseid's Omega Beams not kill you?
Yeah, well, I don't know what I mean.
Like, yeah. I remember reading Infinite Crisis, and maybe I'll have to go back and read it. I mean, I have all of Infinite Crisis collected, so maybe I'll have to go back and check that out. But you know, Batman got blasted by Darkseid's Omega Beams, and then instead of just being disintegrated, he traveled back in time.
Yeah.
So maybe Mr. Peabody in the Wayback Machine was programmed into Darkseid's eyeballs at that moment, but I don't know what the hell happened.
Either that or anyway, he has a flux capacitor in his utility belt.
Yeah, he's a flux capacitor, exactly. So Bruce Wayne's back, great. But what's with DC promoting all of their second-generation characters, like Dick Grayson, Wally West, Connor Hawk, like all those type people.
Mm-hmm.
They give them the spotlight, and then they take it away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Marvel has a bunch of second and third generation characters as well, and so does DC. DC actually right now has a lot of fourth generation characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you look at the Flash. There's Jay Garrick, Barry Allen, Wally West, and now Wally West has kids. Oh, and of course Bart Allen. I forgot about him. So there's just like a multitude of generations in there.
Yep.
But my point is, like, over at Marvel, I don't think they ever really gave that second generation the torch. They never said, okay, Spider-Girl, you're going to sell our comics. Or, okay, Dakin, you know, Wolverine's son,
mm-hmm.
you know, Dark Wolverine. Like, he had his own comic for a while, but it wasn't Logan or James Howlett, whatever you want to call him. It wasn't – he didn't take his place.
Right.
Like, saying is Marvel develops their secondary characters, their backup characters, and they let them have their own niche, whereas DC – takes their secondary characters and their help characters, and then they bring them up to prominence and then chop them back down.
Yeah, that's true.
It ticks me off because, you know, Dick Grayson is like the first sidekick ever. Wally West was the first sidekick to become the Mantle's namesake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just like chopped him down. So that's my first freak out about this Batman Inc. coming out.
Here's the other thing with that too.
Again, what's that?
When you do take Dick Grayson out of his role, I mean, he's already established as Nightwing and everything. He's not even doing the Robin thing anymore. That's been years and years and years. But
right.
Nightwing is such a great character in himself, and now you're taking that away from the fans to put him in the cape and cowl, which I don't right. necessarily like either. I really like Nightwing as his own character. Plus, I don't think it's as interesting at this point, because they've done that before. They did the Bruce got his back broken by Bane and Azrael stepped
Nightfall.
In. And right, they did the whole Nightfall storyline. This has been done already. So why not, instead of doing that and have someone step into the cape and cowl, to me a more interesting story is how is Gotham City and the surrounding heroes going to respond to having the Batman gone and playing that angle? How are the villains going to respond to that? That's way more interesting to me at this point.
That's pretty much what they did when Barry Allen went away. Like, Wally West became the Flash, and the Rogues Gallery noticed that. They could tell it was a different guy.
Right.
And now that Barry Allen's back, they're kind of doing that again. The Rogues are like, oh, crap, like, the old Flash is back. So that reaction is being done in the Flash ongoing book. Over in the Batman and Robin book, well, first of all, there's so many Batman books going.
Oh, there's a ton.
Some of the Batman books aren't in continuity, so Bruce Wayne's still Batman in those books.
Yeah.
You know, so it gets kind of convoluted. I believe Batman and Robin is the one going on right now that's most in continuity. So I believe they're handling that there. But they kind of just turned the page. They kind of just said, oh, you know, Dick Grayson's Batman. And Damian Wayne is Robin, which I think is horrible.
Agreed.
You know, but they just kind of went with it. But some of my other freakouts about this new series coming out, and again, it hasn't even come out yet, so I'm bashing it before I know what the hell's going on.
Right.
But just on a aesthetic front, and I believe you touched on this earlier, but
mm-hmm.
The two symbols on the uniform.
Terrible.
Which is dumb.
Yep.
And so I'm not going to belabor that because you talked about that. So that's my point on mm-hmm. that. And B, the yellow symbol on the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that just like a sweet little target to shoot at?
Here's the thing. I actually, did a little research on that too, because I always wondered that myself. If he's a dark, mysterious, shadowy figure, why would he put a blatant bullseye on his chest? Something
yeah,
to
canary
stand
yellow
out.
Symbol, right?
There yeah. is actually a rationale behind that. He has oh, yeah. the majority of his body armor built up in his chest area. And from a visual perspective, if that's the thing jumping out at you, just psychologically, that's what you're going to aim at. And that's where he can take it the most.
Gotcha.
So there is like an actual rationale behind it.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty good yeah, the writers there were like, you know what, we really like the yellow symbol, but it's so dumb in real life that we're gonna have to write a plot point to back it up.
And they probably did do that afterward. Yeah, I mean, that's not a newer thing since they're bringing back the symbol.
Yeah,
that's
I actually heard that before.
I yeah mean,
most of his armor is in his torso,
right?
So anyways, I'll stop bashing on Batman Inc. Keeping with the Batman theme, I did hear about Arkham Asylum 2 is called Arkham City.
Yes.
I rewatched the trailer. I'm excited for it. But this is old news, but I feel like it's something that hasn't really been touched upon as heavily as it should have been on this podcast, on this website.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Hamill leaving as the Joker is tragic.
It is.
As far as geeks go, as far as everything geekdom goes, like that's like Superman dying in real life.
It's true.
That's horrible. I mean, Mark Hamill, and some people will disagree with me, but when I think of the Joker, Mark Hamill's voice rings in my head.
Yeah, and I'll clarify just for the audience real quick. What we're talking about is the fact that Mark Hamill has publicly said that Arkham City will be his last performance as the Joker voice.
Yep.
So, yeah, that is tragic. He is the iconic voice of the Joker.
He did the Joker for the animated series, and then the Gotham Knights series, and the Justice League series, and pretty much any guest spot the Joker was in, he was there for it. Mask of the Phantasm, pretty much almost every video game, yada, 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 yada. And so just having him as the voice for decades as the Joker, and him nailing it. I think, arguably, I mean, name some of the best voice actors out there. In any form, whether it's cartoons, video games, whatever. Like, who comes to your mind? I think Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's a lot of the people that we listen to in the cartoons, like Kevin Conroy doing Batman, Clancy Brown doing Lex Luthor, Tim Daly as Superman. Those are all very iconic. That's who I identify that voice with that character forever now.
Exactly. And, oh, by the way, you do know that Clancy Brown, a.k.a. Lex Luthor, is also Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Is he really?
Yeah, did you know that?
I don't even watch SpongeBob, so.
It's funny, too, because Mr. Krabs' character is very selfish, and he's very money-hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He kind of hoards all of his money. He's a little bit of avarice going in there, if you will.
Sure.
Hence Lex Luthor, you know, getting the orange ring in Blackest Night / Brightest Day, being the herald for avarice. So I think sort of as an inside joke, I think Mr. Krabs' character, I think, is like a little wink to the audience. If you're a fan of like Clancy Brown's former work and you know that he's Lex Luthor, Mr. Krabs kind of has that like Lex Luthor edge.
That's funny.
I'm really reading into it, but it's true. In my mind, it's true. But anyway, that's the other thing I'm freaking out about is Arkham City looks to be Mark Hamill's last go around as the Joker. And it's sad.
It is, but I'll put this out there too, that he didn't even want to do the voice for the first one.
The first one. Right.
And they gave him the script and he was like, wow, that's so good, I can't not do it. And then he was like, okay, after the first one, I'm done. Then the same thing happened with Arkham City. So he's said this before, not as publicly and as open as he had in the past, but I think it's another we'll have to wait and see thing. I'm praying it's not his last time because, like you said, iconic, but
right.
Yeah. If it is his last time, then at least he's going out on a high note, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, exactly. And maybe he's just sick of it because I like his other work. He does like a ton of kids shows. He does a lot of voices in Death Clock and Metalocalypse. He does a lot of voices there.
Tons of LucasArts games. He's all over.
Yeah, exactly. But so if this really is Mark Hamill's last go around, then it's sad. And that's why I'm freaking out.
It is sad. I agree. Is that your last freak out?
I do have one more, and I'll try and keep it brief.
Okay.
I heard that Spectacular Spider-Man is being canceled.
It is. Yes, that's over.
They're coming out with the new Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes, and I actually have some news about that in the news block later on.
All right. Well, I'll save it. I'll save my rant on that for then.
Okay.
I'll just say that I'm freaking out. I mean, I really didn't watch too many episodes of Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know what, Marvel? When it comes to your animation department, please just pick a show and run with it.
Seriously.
You know, they did Spectacular Spider-Man, they're canceling that. Okay, the new Ultimate Spider-Man's coming out. I also heard that they're canceling Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yep, that's also done.
That's one and done, which is tragic because did you watch that show?
I started to. I honestly never really, really got into it.
I liked it because X-Men Evolution was crap.
That's true.
The 90s X-Men show was fantastic.
Amazing.
And Wolverine and the X-Men was almost some kind of continuation of the 90s show.
True.
It almost was like they continued it, but it kind of went on its own path.
Right.
And they took a little bit more things that are contemporary with the X-Men and added that into the show. Like Emma Frost was the lead woman instead of Jean Grey, mm-hmm. although Jean Grey was still in the show.
Right.
But I just like that. I really like the show. And I love the voice acting. I thought the voice acting was fantastic.
It was good.
So I'm just really – and, you know, they're probably dropping Spectacular Spider-Man and Wolverine and the X-Men to focus on Ultimate X-Men. And they're also coming out with the new Avengers cartoon.
They are, yep.
So whatever. Hopefully the other two, the new two, are good. But I just stick with the old two. Develop them.
Yeah. I did watch Spectacular Spider-Man, both series and or both seasons, I should say, and I feel it started a little slow, but it really was hitting its stride in the second season, and right when it got really, really good and interesting, they're canceling it.
Which is tragic.
Right. It does upset me a bit, and I don't remember where I heard it, but it seems like DC is getting everything right in the animation department and struggling a little bit in the movies, whereas Marvel's just the flip side. They seem to be doing everything right movie-wise and kind of falling short when it comes to TV production.
Exactly. That's pretty much spot on. And maybe they can talk to one another and just get everything flattened out and even.
And they do cooperate as much as they are rivals. They're competitive rivals. They do like do things interchangeably, so they could make that work if they wanted to.
Hopefully they do.
Yeah. Let's see. The thing I'm freaking out over this week is another somewhat personal thing that and I have to start it off by posing a question to you. Have you ever asked out a complete stranger before that you didn't know and just asked out purely on, I get a vibe off this person and I'll just give it a shot?
Let me think. I don't know if I've ever quote unquote asked out someone like that. Like just you're in the crosshairs. I don't know you and bam, let's go on a date. I don't think I've ever approached it that way. All the stuff that I did back in the day, you're asking me this question and I really have to put on a time machine helmet and
I know.
And think, like, years back.
It's
like,
another life.
Yeah, exactly. It is another life for me. So I really have to, like, put on my helmet and be like, okay, what the hell did I do back then? So quickly, I don't think I ever point blank did that. No, I never did. You know, I would meet people and form some kind of rapport and then mm-hmm. go from there. But I don't think I ever just straight out was like, hey, I like you, let's date.
Okay. I ask because I'm gonna bring up a little story here that I've talked to some of my friends about this, and it was kind of a ballsy move, and ultimately
I like that you're – I'm sorry to interrupt you. I like that you're saving it for me,
yeah.
But we're doing it on the internet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you talk to, like, other friends of yours. Like, I don't know what you're going to say yet, but you're like, you know what? Let's record a podcast. And
I'm just going to put it out there to everybody.
Yeah. No, well, I dig this. I like this.
I want people to see that this kind of stuff does happen in real life. And when it doesn't always work the way it does in the movies.
Absolutely.
And I didn't just save this for you just to have it on the show. I actually, it's just...
I'm going to talk to Mike about what's going on.
In reality, I mean, you've been a very busy guy, and we haven't had as much time to chat the last few years or so that we normally have in the past. But
sure.
So this is basically what it comes down to. For months, I was like checking out this girl that worked at the local Stop and Shop. She was just like a cashier there. I thought she was really cute. But you know me. I am the type to admire from afar, never do anything about it, and ultimately regret it in the end that I didn't do anything, right?
Yes, that is everything in a nutshell.
Right. Okay. So, for once in my life, I decided I was actually going to do something about it. Now, this was months, and this actual event that I'm going to talk about right now happened months ago, and there's a reason I bring it up now, and I'll get to that.
Okay.
So, last February, we're going to go all the way back there.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's Valentine's Day, and this is purely coincidental that it's Valentine's Day, I assure you.
Sure.
No, I'm not. I'm serious. Dead serious, okay? So,
okay.
Well, me having no date for Valentine's Day, as I normally do, I'm just going to go out and go grocery shopping, because I figure, you know what? nobody's going to be at the store tonight because everyone's either out to dinner or at home making dinner right now. No one's at the store. Good time to do my shopping, get it done.
Okay. Good tactics for grocery shopping. I'm with you.
I do the same thing around the Super Bowl. I go out to eat because there's nobody in the restaurant. So I go to Stop and Shop, and I'm gathering all my stuff up, and I see that the girl's working there. And I'm like, huh. So if she's working on Valentine's Day, either she's just really unhappy that she's here, or she probably doesn't have a boyfriend. So maybe I should step up to the plate, being as it is Valentine's Day and all, and actually do something about it.
Right.
So I have all my stuff in my basket. I start pacing back and forth in the flowers section. I have a plan in mind, okay? Plan is in mind, and I'm like trying to get myself up to a level where I can actually do this because I am such a freaking coward. I go and I buy a red, like, daisy or something. I don't do a rose because that's a little over the top. So I buy, like, a red daisy or some sort of flower like that. I have my business cards on me. So I throw my business card into it that has my telephone number and everything. As I go to check out, I go to her counter on purpose. I run all my stuff through, pay, and I give her the flower, and I say, this is for you. My number's in there if you'd like to use it. So I stepped up, and I took a shot. Never heard anything.
Oh.
And my email was on there, too. So even if she was scared, she could have still emailed me, you know? And it's not that intimidating. So I never heard anything. The reason I bring it up, even though this happened so long ago, is because I was shopping this week. And it was the first time... I had seen her there since, but I don't think she ever really saw me. It was the first time that I really saw her, and there was eye contact, and you realize who the other person is type thing. As she's, like, packing my groceries up. And it's just, like, the weirdest thing ever. And you're like, do I say something? Do I not do anything?
Right.
And just...
Right, do I bring it up?
Right. If I bring it up, am I being ultra creepy because I asked you out in, like, February? Like, these are the things that just drive me crazy on a daily basis. I did nothing. I just... I got my groceries and I left. But I was like... That it threw me for a loop, I'll be honest.
All right, well, let me do some feedback here.
Okay.
All right, Internet, you just heard what Rob said. So any females listening out there, I want you to please Twitter or email or do something in response to this. You gotta give your feedback because only the female perspective on this is really going to cut through and give an answer and help out with Rob.
And I really think I'm worried, too, that like this is one of those... Like I said, movie type situations. I thought I was doing something very nice and kind of like inspired, I guess. And it's something that could have totally come across as really creepy. And I want to know, is that creepy or is that something nice?
well, tactically, I think, well, first of all, did you, before you bought this girl a flower from her own store, because she was probably like, wait a minute, this guy's buying me a, like, I just watered those 5 minutes ago. so did you like know her name before this or did you have any type of slight conversation before this moment?
I wouldn't say it would be anything to where she would recognize who I was.
Okay then. So the problem is you started dry.
Right.
And it was a bold move and it did take balls to do that move. So I give you credit for doing that. But realistically speaking, it was a little too movie, and let's be honest, you know, girls like watching movies. They don't like, in reality, those movie situations, they don't work in real life.
It's just, true. If anyone true, knows yeah. that, it's me, because that's what always happens. I always do those things that are like extreme gestures, and they always blow up in my face.
Right. So, okay, you didn't quite know her name yet. She didn't know you. You didn't really have any past, you know, slight conversations of any kind.
True.
So I think, you know... it just happened to be Valentine's Day, so it just happened to be Valentine's Day.
It did,
Day.
I'm serious.
Well, but in her mind, maybe not. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, oh, it's Valentine's Day, and this guy's like, point blank, like, here, you know what I mean? Because maybe she felt cornered. Maybe she felt surprised. So I think the idea is nice, but I think that just the way it went about, that's probably why it didn't work. Also, the business card... you know, I'm assuming she works at a Stop and Shop as a cashier, so I'm assuming she's a little younger. And the business card thing might have been either intimidating or, again, a little weird that it was with the flowers on Valentine's Day, point blank. I don't even know this guy's name. What the heck is this?
True, but it's also a business card that says the Geek Generation, and therefore that that could have been the exact reason I never got a call back either.
Hey, maybe she never called you back, but she could be listening to this right now.
Yeah. I doubt it, but we'll see.
At least, 0 to Valentine's Day romance, but a plus one for a Geek Generation potential fan. At least you marketed the site.
I'm gonna start walking around with flowers and just handing them out to everybody with Geek Generation cards, so they'll start listening.
You should buy like boatloads of carnations or something, and just like tape a business card to it with the website on it, and be like,
there you go. That's what it was. Now that you say it, it was a carnation.
Was it a carnation?
It was.
I called it.
Hey.
Hey now. Yeah, that's my feedback. I think the idea was great, but just bad execution and just. Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, probably. So,
kudos. But kudos to you for trying.
Thank you. I just wanted to once again highlight my insecurities on the show.
Sure. Well, and hence, that's why you asked me, have you ever done this before? Because you were looking if I had success or didn't have success.
Absolutely.
And I never quite did that, because that is sort of... There's no icebreaker there.
No.
Like, that is the icebreaker. Like, bang, here you go. And the... You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just a little too much, a little too strong.
True. That was the first time, like, in my entire life that I ever asked someone out who I didn't know at all. Like, it's always a friend of a friend type thing, or you're thrown into a social situation together and it progresses from there. So this was
work out best.
Yeah.
Whether it's through social circles or, you know, work or something like that. But it just happened to be on Valentine's. I'm not going to let that go now.
I know. And I know I'm just giving you material to bust my balls later.
Oh, absolutely. I just happened to wear green on St. Patrick's Day. Anyways, I'll stop busting your chops.
That's all right. I deserve every bit of it. But we're gonna go now right into our favorite game ever, which is Top 3.
Three, two, one.
Today, I am going to pose this question to you. I would like the top three original movie villains. That means no comic book movies or TV adaptations. If they're based on a book, it's okay, because the majority of movies are anyway. It doesn't have to be a purely screenplay generated one, but comic book movies and TV adaptations, I can't say that for whatever reason, are too easy for us. So, right. Top three original movie villains in those criteria.
Oh my God.
I know. Well, I know that you're such a big fan of the villains themselves. That's why I had to throw this one to you.
Yeah, I'm a big villain guy. So, that was definitely skewed to me. Thank you for doing that. I will say, Geek Generation fans, when you listen to this, when Rob does this to you, you're coming into this not knowing what he's going to say. And then he says something, and... Since, you know, pretty much all of us co-hosts who help him out with this site, we do have a big pool of knowledge. So when Rob picks a question, it's usually, it throws you for a loop. Like, I don't know. So let me just get right to it.
It's purposely an area of your expertise that I know is going to be overwhelming to where you don't want to leave anyone out.
I know. My brain is now, like, on fire. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Welcome.
I need tough acting to act in for my brain. Here we go. Original movie villains. Okay, well, number one, I'm going to say Darth Vader.
Okay, well, yeah, I think that's a given.
Because that Star Wars, when Star Wars first came out, it was just a movie. It was original.
True.
I'm also going to say Hannibal Lecter.
Ooh.
From Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
And number three... For a villain, I guess I'll say the Mist from The Mist.
Is that an entity, or is it?
That's an entity.
Really? Because I haven't seen it.
Well, you could say. Did you see the movie The Mist?
I haven't. No.
You just said no.
Yeah.
I'm brain farting on the guy who directed it, but The same man took three of Stephen King's books, and it was The Mist, The Shawshank Redemption, and The Green Mile. And the same guy adapted all three of those for the screen. And he did a great job. And in my opinion, The Mist, well, here's a minor spoiler alert, but The Mist was actually created by humans. I won't give away too much, but so you could say that in The Mist, that humanity was actually the villain.
Ooh. Yeah, baby.
Like all the scenes in the grocery store, they're all quarantined in this one grocery store. Like that's their shelter. They don't want to get out because all of the creatures and all of the unknown is outside. So you have the aspects of, you know, the villain, quote unquote, is the unknown outside, which again was actually kind of set loose by man. But then you also have the villains. You have sort of the ignorant and crazy people that are inside the grocery store, and they add to the story as well.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say all of the darkness from The Mist, I think, is one of the best on screen movie villains. That's sort of a abstract answer to your question, but it's original. Thank you. And I really, really like that movie. And anyone out there in internet land, if you've seen the movie The Mist, you can tell the stuff that I like. I love Silent Hill, and I liked the movie The Mist.
I was just going to say, is that some sort of a weird connection between Silent Hill and The Mist there versus The Mist itself?
There you go. I mean, Silent Hill and The Mist, those are two awesome things that just deal with stuff from within. I love it. Anyway, yeah, that's my answer.
Cool. Well, you got those out pretty quick, actually.
Thank you. I learned from my Wonder Woman answer. No redos. I wanted to finish strong, just get them out there. So that's my answer.
Episode 4, people. Check it out. Wonder Woman.
Yeah, right now on the podcast, there should be a little
self-plug.
Yeah, self-plug. Go back to episode 4 because I did that one too. But you know when you read comic books and there's that little asterisk on the bottom because – you know, like the characters will say, like, remember when this happened? And then it's like, for what the hell he's talking about, check out issue 137. And you're like, damn it, now I have to buy that issue.
I should drop those in every now and then.
You should. So right now we're throwing down the asterisk. For what Mike's talking about with the Wonder Woman fiasco, re-listen to episode 4.
Awesome. All right, well, that is our top 3 for the week. We are going to take a short break right now, and we will be back in just a moment with listener emails and the news block. So we will be right back.
We all know the best podcast in the world is
The Geek Generation.
But what you might not know is there are other ones, such as...
Like you and me, Hector and Todd. Dangerous Memory.
That's right.
We're reviewing the AFI Top 100, and we're bringing new episodes every Wednesday. Come check us out on www.hectorandtodd.com.
Hello, listeners. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support The Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Well, then I have good news for you, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You have spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris, your host for Geek Tech Live, the bi-weekly podcast that showcases tech news, reviews of consumer products and games, and I even get to talk to some of the movers and shakers in the world of geekdom. Occasionally, I even throw in a rant or two. So drop on by to geektechlive.com. See you there.
Hi, this is Hector from Dangerous Memories, and you're listening to The Geek Generation.
We are back, and we're going to take a look first at the listener emails that came in last week. One of the things that I am debating on back and forth here is whether I want to continue doing the listener polls. Well, I do think they're interesting for the fans to do and everything. I am getting kind of tired of begging people to do them, because we only have 2 responses this week, and maybe it's just that the category wasn't that good. But I really feel like I spend a lot of time during the week begging for these emails to come in. And I did it as a way for people to give back. But at the same time, it's not like we are in any desperate need of content for the show, as there's always so much to do anyway. So I don't know. I'm going to put out another poll question this week afterwards. We'll see if maybe that's the end of it. And if people want to email in, then they can step up on their own and do it instead of feeling obligated, I think.
I got a poll question.
Do you? Because I already have one written down for this week, but go ahead.
I'm gonna re-say what I said a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Female listeners of the Geek Generation.
Ah, yes.
Get back to Rob and tell him what went right and what went wrong on his Valentine's Day grocery store story.
And just abuse me, because that's what you're going to do. I know it.
What's the real poll question?
All right. Well, we'll get to that after we check out the listener emails here.
Oh, good.
Our poll question from the last show is, who is the hottest comic book character? Now, I have two responses here. I did get a couple late ones for the week before, but I have to maintain some sort of structure. I can't keep going back and back and back and answering other things.
We got to keep continuity.
Yeah. By the time the next episode airs, it's time to move on. First email comes in from Joseph Palumbo. He says, hello, Rob. First of all, there were hardly any technical issues with the show, so put your mind at ease. He's referring to episode 7 with Dave. I guess he wasn't bothered by the audio quality at all.
Maybe he was in the White Mountains as well.
Maybe.
He's like, I didn't hear anything wrong with it. And he's like...
The show was great. I enjoyed the whole thing, especially the rant about girls loving Michael Cera. As far as the hottest comic book character, I'm going slightly off on this one. My vote is for Tank Girl. Now, the reason for this is because of the movie Tank Girl, which I secretly, or not so secretly anymore, love. I was very much attracted to Tank Girl as a 10-year-old. I didn't actually read any of the comics until late in high school or early in college, which made me like her even more. She's just a badass, scantily clad, hilarious character. I love the style that the artists use. I also really dig the character designs for the gorillas, which might have been why I became interested in the comics again. Anyway, the movie is cheesy, it's stupid, whatever, but that's half the charm. I'll just wrap before I start going off on a tangent, and I should be doing it work at work anyway. Take care, Geek Generation. I do appreciate the email. However, I believe one of my criteria was that you not look at the movie character versions of the characters and go purely off the comics. Fortunately, he did talk about the comic version a little bit, and yep, the movie played into it, so I guess it's acceptable. But yeah, what do you think about
it? I think that's acceptable. I mean, yeah, that was your criteria. That's very specific to have a criteria. I mean, basing from what he said on that answer, it sounds like Tank Girl became that guy's Jessica Rabbit for the rest of us. Like, you're not at puberty yet, but you're interested in girls.
Sure.
And all of a sudden you see Jessica Rabbit and you're like, what is that? And for him, it was Tank Girl. You know what I mean? It was just, I'm sure for a different generation, it was Pam Anderson and Barb Wire. You know, you're just going, what the? So he obviously likes the punk looking chick, and good for him. And no, he did mention the comics, so
yep,
he at least knows what he's talking about as far as the comic book side. So
true.
Good answer. Good original answer.
And that's more or less what I was going for with the question. We all kind of had those like crushes on cartoon characters and comic characters when we were younger. It's the nature of the beast.
Right. At least he didn't say Bugs Bunny dressed as a woman.
That's very true, because that would have been just disturbing.
Like in Wayne's World.
Next email says, hey, Rob and myself. And it's not myself, it's yourself. This one's in from Wally himself.
Yay!
What a great show so far. You guys are doing an awesome job. Keep it up. Wait. How did you know the show is going to be so good so far?
Well, as you know, my nickname is Wally. I am the Flash, and I can time travel.
This is pretty awesome.
You like that?
Yeah. Let's see. To answer the question, who is the hottest, quote-unquote, comic book character, my answer would be the Human Torch. He's definitely the hottest character because he's made of fire and can go supernova. Son of a bitch, you just went literal with it, didn't you?
Hey.
I can remember the old issue of Fantastic Four when he went supernova and accidentally leveled a large part of New York City. As far as sexiest or most attractive comic book character, my choice is Marvel's the Black Cat. What a babe she is. Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah, dude. The Black Cat. I mean, Felicia Hardy, meow. You know what I mean? You have a hot blonde that wears a platinum blonde wig. Or wait, is that her hair? Sometimes I've seen her in continuity where like it's a wig, and then other times I've seen it like that's her hair all
the
time.
That's true.
Anyway, no matter what, whatever it is, the hair, the face, the up top, the down low, all of it's good. And they always draw her very, very seductive. She's one of Marvel's, if not Marvel's, number one, like, sexy chicks.
Yeah.
So I did base my criteria purely on drawings. I think you were looking for a drawing of, yep, of email form. So I said the black cat. But yeah, I was a total wise ass. And I was like, because I read the question and I was like, who's the hottest comic book character? That's easy. It's a Human Torch. Ta-da!
Ta-da! if I had to choose one, I'm going to go artist specific on this and say that Michael Turner's Supergirl is the hottest comic book character.
Yeah, Michael Turner draws women very well.
Yes, he does.
You know that Witchblade poster that I have?
Oh, yeah.
That I've had for forever. You got Witchblade, you got Fathom, Supergirl, like you said. He drew a couple, I saw a couple covers of Wonder Woman that he did.
Yep.
Made her look good. It's because sometimes Wonder Woman looks like a dude.
Yeah.
And sometimes she looks really sexy. And it's like, it depends on what artist. So, yeah, if you want to go artist specific, I'm going to say Michael Turner draws a good looking female.
Oh, yeah. All right. So those are, oh, yeah, I should probably give out this week's poll question too, huh?
Yeah, we already did. It's, it's, hey, chicks, give Rob some feedback.
Aside from that, the actual poll question this week, which you can send to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com, is who is your favorite original movie villain? We're just going to piggyback right off of the top three game and let people submit their own favorite villains there. I'll give mine next week, so I'll hold off on that one.
Okay.
And now we are going to go right into news. Top story this week is that George Lucas announced that the Star Wars movies are finally coming to Blu-ray. A box set will be released in fall of 2011, which includes all six of the films, new extras, Totally Loaded, all that good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's about time.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why it's taken this long to get that together, but the extras better be damn good for the wait.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's been so many iterations of the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy having been released, you know, in like VHS and then DVD and then special DVD and then blah, blah, blah. So it's like, yeah, it's annoying and it costs a lot of money. And for collectors, it's like, which version do I buy? But this one sounds like probably the best one. It's a little disappointing because usually LucasArts and, you know, THX, blah, 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 they're usually on the cutting edge of all this technology. It's like Blu-ray's been around for quite some time now. What the hell? Like, they've been sleeping under a rock?
Right, and that's one of the reasons it's so shocking that it took so long. And I was getting fairly annoyed because I was definitely waiting for the Blu-ray release before I bought any of them on DVD even.
Right.
Next story. Netflix begins Epix streaming on September 1st. Netflix and Epix have announced their agreement to stream Epix content over Netflix's instant streaming service. Starting September 1st, movies will be included from the libraries of Paramount, Lionsgate, and MGM. The agreement states that new releases from these partners will be available to stream instantly on Netflix 90 days after their initial debut on premium pay TV and subscription and on-demand services. So those movies are coming to the streaming service once they hit like the normal cable on-demands and HBOs and all those things. 90 days after their debut on there, Netflix viewers will be allowed to see those.
Whoa.
I think that's pretty great. That's one of the complaints about the instant streaming service is that the movies have not been of the caliber of the rest of the library. But having three major studios throwing their movies into the mix is pretty phenomenal.
That sounds good. You know what's weird is how big has the word epic become in our vocabulary, where it's like epics?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The word extreme used to be everywhere, whether it was with an E or an X, or everything was extreme, and now everything is epic.
It's true.
That was epic, man.
Epic fail.
Epic fail. Yeah, you know, it's like, so we have Netflix. We need to call it something else now that we're changing it.
Well, it's actually not a company. Epix itself is a streaming company.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
There was like eight guys sitting around at a table in suits going, what are the kids listening to now, Phil? Well, Extreme's really popular. And no, Ted, that was 2007. This is 2010. We need a new word. Epics.
What's the buzz?
What's the buzzword today?
Yeah, that's true.
It just sounds very trendy to me.
But either way, I'm excited because that means we're going to get all that content. Like Paramount's got the Star Trek movies. MGM's got all the James Bonds. So that stuff's all coming.
That's neat. I'm just picking fun of the man. No, it's a great idea. I love it. And I'm just like, I'm just being me. Like, this is a silly name.
True, true, true. Let's see. There's a new title holder as the highest grossing animated movie of all time. And that is Pinocchio 3000. No, it's now Toy Story 3. The movie has grossed $920 million globally since opening in mid-June. Toy Story 3 will be released on Blu-ray and DVD on November 2nd, 2010.
That pisses me off because I really liked Pinocchio 3000, and I'm a little mad that Toy Story 3...
Dude, seriously, look up Pinocchio 3000 after this, and you'll...
Is it a real movie?
It is. I didn't just make that up. I wanted to make sure that I referenced something particularly terrible.
I was going with it, so...
Yeah.
No, I thought you were referring to the character Woody as being a modern-day version of Pinocchio, and you were making fun of Toy Story.
Oh, no.
I thought that was a good
original. Oh, no, Pinocchio 3000's out there.
Oh, my gentle Jesus.
Yes.
You know what? Personally, I never saw Toy Story 1, 2, or 3, but at least, you know, Toy Story 3, it's Pixar. Pixar puts out great stuff. You know, good for them. Congratulations. It's a little tough. I have a little bit of a tough time listening to these new landmarks that are being hit by film. And because it's the same song and dance. There's more movie theaters. There's more people. It's more expensive. Yada, yada, yada. IMAX wasn't invented 10, 20 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
Congratulations, Toy Story. I will give you a round of applause sometime next week. But you know what I mean? Just like, wow, whoop-de-doo.
Right.
A Pixar giant movie became number one. Well, no
big shock. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Great. But good for them. They hold the title until the year 2014 when they come out with, you know, Cars 3, The Revenge of Steve McQueen or whatever his name is. Lightning McQueen.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Like this is just going to be some new thing and movies are going to be $50 and we're going to be seeing them in IMAX 3D.5.
True. After 4D comes out, all the new records will just get shattered.
Yeah.
We have a new dimension. That's worth another $10 a ticket, I guarantee it.
Exactly. So I don't mean to pee on the parade of Toy Story 3. Congratulations, Toy Story 3. You're the new number one animated movie of all time until the next number one animated movie of all time comes out.
Wear that medal proudly before some bully punches you in the face and takes it away.
Before the new Cars movie, The Revenge of Lightning McQueen, comes out.
Booyah. Let's see. January Jones has been confirmed as Emma Frost in X-Men First Class. This comes as a bit of a shock, as previous rumors first had Rosamund Pike to be up for the role. Then it was seemingly a lock for Alice Eve in the role of Emma Frost. But it has been confirmed that Mad Men actress January Jones will be the White Queen in First Class. There are rumors saying that Eve may have turned down the role of Frost for a role in the Avengers movie instead, and that particular role is rumored to be the Enchantress.
Okay, you just saved it there. I didn't want to turn the news block into the Mike is negative about everything block, but I had heard that too about January Jones. Now, I have never seen an episode of Mad Men. I've read all of the reviews. I've seen clips, and I've read all of the reviews, and I heard it's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming January Jones is maybe a bit of a better actress than Alice Eve.
Perhaps.
No offense to Alice Eve.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know either. You know, for a second there, I thought you were going to say, she rejected the role for She's Out of My League 2.
The first one was a good movie, not going to lie. But that would not be the best career decision, I wouldn't think.
No. Well, you saved this new segment from becoming Mike's Pissed About the World. but yeah, I mean, I guess this January Jones girl, apparently she's a good actress, so good for her. She'll be, I guess, good in the role. That makes me lean towards, are they going to have Emma Frost as the White Queen? Because it's a prequel.
There were recently rumors coming out of the basic idea of the movie, and it does seem that... Emma Frost will be attached to the Hellfire Club.
Okay, so the main villain's probably going to be like Sebastian Shaw.
It is.
Like
Kevin Bacon will be playing Sebastian Shaw.
There you go. We just broke another piece of news right there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't write it down, but yeah, that recently came out this week.
Excellent. So we just did a two for one news bit.
You got it.
What you said about the Avengers, that saves it for me because the Enchantress is another good-looking blonde, and Alice Eve could play that one. So instead of going to this Marvel character who's blonde and good-looking, she goes to this other Marvel character who's blonde and good-looking.
Right, so, and it seems to be setting her up for a potential Thor sequel as well, as the Enchantress is in that realm.
I would run to see that Alice Eve dressed up as the Enchantress in a Thor movie.
Hell yeah.
Sold.
Bingo. Let's see, this is the story you've been waiting for. The team for Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man animated series has been announced. Writers Paul Dini of Batman the Animated Series and Lost fame, Brian Michael Bendis, who is the author of the Ultimate Spider-Man comic book, and Man of Action Studios will all be taking part in the construction of that series. So rant away, Wally.
All right, buddy. First of all, no offense to Brian Michael Bendis or Marvel, but Brian Michael Bendis does everything for Marvel. It seems like he writes like every book that they do.
True.
So if you like his style, then you probably dig the books. But if you don't, you might be sick of it. So whatever, that's fine. It makes sense that he's the one that's going to be doing the show because he did the comic.
Right.
But to go on my other point, you know, they canceled Spectacular Spider-Man to do this. And Spectacular Spider-Man was just getting legs. And it was Spider-Man based, but it was a little bit original. It was kind of off to the left a little bit. They've already done Ultimate Comic Spider-Man, and then they rebooted Ultimate Comic Spider-Man, and they had the Ultimate Spider-Man video game. And Ultimate Spider-Man already has its base.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think they really needed to cancel Spectacular Spider-Man for this new one. But whatever. I think that's something where, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, Ultimate Spider-Man's already successful. Well, crap. Let's just make a cartoon about it.
I wouldn't be shocked if the reboot leaned a little more towards the Ultimate Universe either.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't particularly care for the Ultimate Universe. I just think it's another redo. I'm not a big fan of redos.
Right.
I'm not. And call me older, but when I first was checking out Ultimate Spider-Man when it first came out, you know, I was curious and I started picking it up, reading it. You know, just little things. Peter Parker's a web designer instead of a photographer. Really? Is there no such thing as photography anymore?
Right. Let's take away the whole cool aspect of him having to take pictures of himself by putting the camera on the building and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're trying to make it contemporary and hip and computer. We're in the digital age, but that just kind of right off the bat tweaked me about Ultimate Spider-Man. But, you know, I'm sure Marvel will have some success with the cartoon and hooray, good for them, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, my rant earlier was, why? Why do you have to cancel Spectacular Spider-Man? Why do you have to cancel Wolverine and the X-Men? They were good quality cartoons. They had great voice acting, good plots, good quality. They were doing fine, and people were enjoying them. And then they're like, oh, no, Ultimate Spider-Man's way too popular. We need to do that one. So, blah.
True. Point taken, yeah.
Yeah.
The one interesting thing about this story, though, is the fact that Paul Dini is going to be contributing, and I think that's very interesting to see him jumping from DC over to Marvel. He did Batman the Animated Series, which is arguably one of the best cartoons ever, as well as wrote the script for Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
I don't know if it was Dwayne McDuffie or Paul Dini who just is, I think, still currently writing the Zatanna miniseries that DC has going on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it's interesting you're right, that's a great point. Like, that's an interesting subplot to this. Like, is he leaving DC, or is he like a free agent? Maybe he doesn't have like a particular contract.
As far as I know, he's kind of a free agent. He can take whatever writing gigs he wants because, I mean, he also worked on Lost for a while.
So there you go. So he must be a free agent. So at least that'll be interesting to have him doing something that is not DC, but I've already made my opinion known on how I feel about Ultimate Spider-Man, so boo.
All right. It seems when you're here, there's always some Marvel vs. Capcom 3 news to get out there. Two more have been added to the roster, and those would be Beautiful Joe and Dormammu, an archenemy of Doctor Strange.
Yes, the dread Dormammu.
Yes.
I did see that bit of news. I saw the clips online. I think Beautiful Joe was inevitable.
Yeah.
And I liked how when he did his finishing move, like the screen turned into like film,
mm-hmm.
just like video game. That was kind of cool. Just like his video game, rather. Kind of like I said on episode 4. Once again, check out episode 4. Like I said on episode 4, the creators of this game on the Capcom end of things really wanted to mix it up.
And they're doing a good job.
Yup, here's another perfect example. They picked Beautiful Joe. Bingo, they nailed it. And as far as Dormammu goes, if you saw the extended trailer of Marvel vs. Capcom 3,
yes.
Dormammu showed up at the end.
True, people were suspecting he would be the boss.
Yes, I figured he would be the boss as well. So I guess he's a playable character. I guess he's just like a regular character. He's not the boss, which is weird. I figured he would be.
But now start speculating on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who the hell is the boss going to be now? Because Dormammu is like a real powerful character, and he would have been a decent choice to be the boss too.
True, and he looks sick in the game.
He does look good. You know what? The footage I saw of him, it looked like they took Blackheart.
Yes.
And they kind of took his animation and his style, and they just kind of tweaked it.
I can see that.
Because Chris Redfield, they clearly just took Jill Valentine and tweaked it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it looks like they just took Blackheart and kind of, because like a lot of his moves like come up from the ground.
Yep.
And he kind of like summons things and shoots fire and yada yada. But it really reminded me of Blackheart, kind of like a slow moving like powerhouse that like shoots things at you.
Sure.
But a great choice on both Marvel side and the Capcom side.
The full track list for Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock has been revealed. And as I said in my post about it, it's kind of the same old, we're getting some of the tracks which are just generally awesome. You get your obscure tracks by popular artists that are chosen instead of something we really love, which is always disappointing. The Who the Hell Is This Band tracks and the live tracks that we wish were just the studio version. I'm sick of those live songs when I just want the one I'm familiar with. And of course, you have the one track that no one will ever play because it really just makes our ears bleed and our souls die. And in this particular game, it's REM's Losing My Religion for me. So I will never play that song. But
yeah, who's going to pick that one? The one guy at the party who's like, oh, REM is going to have like 8 beer bottles thrown on his head.
Yeah.
Wah, wah. Yeah. Meow, meow. I read the list of tracks as well, and I stopped after I read The Outsider by A Perfect Circle, because that's the only song that needs to be on there. Just play that one over and over again. That's a great choice. Yeah, the track listing I think was okay. For me, Guitar Hero sort of jumped the shark a while ago, but I know it's still going strong in most circles. So the track listing seemed okay. I think eventually Guitar Hero and Rock Band will kind of fade out.
Yeah.
We'll have the next wave of whatever interactive game there is, which looks to be probably Kinects and the PlayStation Move is probably going to be the next big thing that sweeps us up.
Probably. Well, I mean, there are some generally really great tracks, like Bush's Machine Head is in there. Savior by Rise Against are good. I'll never understand why they choose to pick really obscure songs. Like for Soundgarden they have Black Rain, and for Foo Fighters they have No Way Back, which are two songs that don't jump to mind for me when there are so many great songs by Soundgarden and Foo Fighters that I'd much rather have in there.
Yeah, that's a great point. I don't know, maybe they just wanted to be clever and be like, yeah, let's pick a good band but just pick something that's not as known,
that way we can charge them for DLC.
Pretty much, exactly. They'll be like, oh, we'll throw in the songs that people want to play. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. That always kind of irked me a little bit. But that's basically our news for the day. Coming up next week, there is the debut of a new co-host, Mike Weathers, who will be joining me. If you heard the fan feedback episode, he joined me for about half of that. Everyone else called for about 10 minutes. Weathers stayed on with me for about a half hour, but it was a good time. He will be co-hosting with me coming up later on. We will also step into the spoiler room for an in-depth discussion of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the movie. So, Wally, is there anything you'd like to plug today?
Yeah, I'd like to plug that I am the one in mic on this podcast / site, hence why they call me Wally, MWR. The thing that I'd like to plug, I didn't get to say it earlier in the podcast, but you mentioned the fan feedback episode.
Sure.
I have one piece of feedback.
Okay.
Since I am a fan and also a contributor, I will say this. You mentioned before feeling that there's a little bit of struggle to get some feedback from the polls and et cetera.
Yes.
What if the webs, and I know the podcast is separate, what we're doing is separate,
mm-hmm.
but on the website itself, mm-hmm. what if there was a forum?
There, okay. I have thought about this, and I, as you know, I believe you were part of it. I used to run a forum back in the day, like years ago.
Yeah, Extreme Zone.
Yeah. That eventually became a catch-all spam thing. That's basically what forums are transforming into now. They're basically spam catch-alls. And
yeah, that's true.
It, while it is interesting to have a social interaction, I'm sure, on the site itself, perhaps as the show gains popularity and maybe there's too much feedback for the show itself, then maybe I'll open up a forum where people can start contributing on there. But as the way things stand right now, I'd love people to send things in to me directly so that we can really talk about it instead of me having to go search it out within a forum or anything.
Sure. Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, just an idea, whether it happens or not. I just thought, like, it's one thing that the website didn't have.
True.
So whether it happens or not, that's up to the Geek Generation gods.
So I guess we'll see how the popularity continues. I mean, if things get overwhelming and I'm getting so much feedback that I can't address it all on the show, then a forum is a totally logical solution to that.
Nice. Well, I figured that would be the one thing that I would mention.
Sure. Okay. Well, then, if you like the show, listeners, please tell your friends. I always ask that of you because nobody's going to hear about this if it isn't for your recommendations. If you'd like to check out the site, it is www.thegeekgeneration.com. You can see all the articles that we talked about in the news block on there. There is a button on the site to subscribe in iTunes. While you are there, please rate the show and write a review. Now, I'm really going to go into guilt trip time here. Because this is something that if you have an iTunes account, takes all of 5 seconds to go onto the show's page and click a star that rates
the
show.
You hear that, Internet? Listen up.
All of 5 seconds. I spend at least 5 hours per episode, not to mention the hundreds of dollars on equipment and things that I have put into making this show. If you enjoy it, I'm going to throw the guilt trip on you to take those 5 to 10 seconds. Go on the iTunes site. Please rate the show and write a review because what that does is increases our visibility in the store. If other people see our show, they're more likely to listen to it. So please take those very few seconds for all the time and money that I give you. Yeah. Land it on thick.
How do you really feel?
you ask these things and no one ever really does them. It just becomes white noise in the background. But I just really wanted to focus on that aspect this week.
Well, Sarah, do you want me to hold on a second? Let me get a sip of water real quick.
No problem.
Do you want me to say like Joe Pesci, like threatening?
Oh, it's all you. You're on.
Like maybe the internet will pay attention. It's like, hey, listen up, man. You need to go over there, do some iTunes, okay? Open it up. Take the time, click the star. This guy's sick of doing the work. Lots of money, lots of bread, lots of dough it takes. Okay, buddy?
Appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Pesci has left the building.
Hey, I'm freaking out of here.
Very nice.
That? You want me to grab a baseball bat over here?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't need to go to those extremes, Joe. Come on.
Hey, listen. These guys don't go on the intraweb. I'm going to grab something. It rhymes with graceful fat, if that spells it out. I'm going to whack you upside the head. And then you're going to wake up and go, oh, damn, I should have subscribed. And then you'll click.
That's right.
So, yeah, Joe Pesci says, for all you listeners of the Geek Generation, listen to Rob's rant. He does put up a lot of work for this. All of the co-hosts also. You know, we, like I said earlier, not to throw ourselves under the bus, we don't do a ton of pre-production, not because we don't want to, but because we all have lives. But
and I like spontaneity to an extreme. Yeah, I do a lot of pre-production.
Yeah, Rob does a lot of pre-production. He's the Don. I've said this to him before. He's the Donatello of this thing. He's the tech guy. He gets all this together. He puts a lot of time into it. But the people who contribute, it's all pre-recorded. And it's not like scripted and, well, I feel that blah, 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 blah. Like it's all pretty much from the heart. It's all off the top of the head. It's a real recording done for geeks by geeks.
That's right.
So to all the geeks out there, again, it's called The Geek Generation. If you're listening to this, take the time and just, you know, do some feedback. Like Rob said, just click it on iTunes. You know, check us out. Give us a hand, because the more you help us get the ball rolling, the better we can do, and the more we'll put into it as well.
Help us help you.
Help us to help you. It's the geek generation. the geek generation. So don't contribute to the stigma and the stereotype that geeks are lazy.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm not lazy. I got a lot going on, and I still did this show. Rob's got a lot going on. He still did this show.
Speaking of which, I just got another job, which I didn't even talk about earlier. And I'm not going to say where I'm working now, but I'm going to be working full-time again very soon. Yeah. So this show and the site is going to become a lot more show-focused and a lot less site-focused.
Sure.
And time is going to be constrained. So if I'm going to continue to do these things, I need the audience to get on board with me and really help out.
Well, let's just mark episode 8 on the timeline where we fired the first shot, where we said, hey, you know what? The site's going to chill out. The podcast is going to be more in the front row, and we need your help and your feedback, Geek Generation fans. I mean, you know, take the time. Go to iTunes, rate it. Please answer the poll questions. Email Rob. Do any type of feedback. It really helps us. And Rob and I, for myself specifically, being a former comedian, I want to add more to this site, get a little bit more comedic content up there. We have a lot of ideas and stuff rolling around in our heads.
A lot of stuff, absolutely.
So, yeah. So, I mean, the feedback and everything that you can do to contribute will definitely help us and motivate us and get our engines revving. But I guess the thing that I'll plug, because you always ask towards the end of the show, what would you like to plug?
Sure.
I like to plug myself, Mike Pauly Reinfleisch, on this podcast, and look for more things coming out in the future, coming from myself and coming from Rob, more towards the comedic aspect.
That's right. So, it's happening.
Check that out, internet.
All right. So to finish up our guilt trip rant, which really did just, wow, we just went off on that. there's
It needed to be said.
It did need to be said. To really finish off that guilt trip, there's also a donation button on the site. So if you want to give anything back in a monetary form, feel free to do that too. If you have any questions, comments, insults, topics you'd like to discuss, please send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. If there is an article or an audio file you would like to submit to the show or the site, send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. So thank you, Mike, Wally, Reinfleisch, for helping out and co-hosting this lovely episode with me. As always, it was a great time.
Thanks, buddy. It was good. We definitely started off asleep, and now we're definitely awake. And again, people, we record the sucker live. So once again, this is MWR saying thanks for listening to The Geek Generation, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.